Greetings, Slidell. This is Bob Roush, your host of the Grace Radio series Voices. This adventure and programming for Grace Radio focuses on the voices of our neighbors here in Slidell about matters of community interest. Our guest today on Voices is our own district attorney for St. Tammany and Washington Parish, Warren Montgomery, who's agreed to sit down during this Thanksgiving season and talk to us about the season of Thanksgiving and maybe some of his reflections as a community leader, as a man of God, as a family man, about just words of encouragement during Thanksgiving. So, Mr. Montgomery, welcome. Glad you're here.
Thank you, Bob, for having me here. It's a blessing to be with you.
You know, we live in one of the most unique and blessed places of the world, right here in St. Tammany Parish. And I think it has a great deal to do with the heart and the dedication of many people, pastors in churches, teachers in school, but particularly today with our government leaders, taking us to be better than we ever knew we could be. And I certainly consider your role as a district attorney helping us to parse between good and evil, helping us to parse between intent and a mistake, to help the community to be a better place to live. And for that and for you, sir, I'm very thankful.
Well, thank you, Bob. And it's a privilege to be district attorney. It's an honor to serve the people in this capacity, and very great, very, very grateful for the opportunity. And when I think of St. Tammany Parish, when I think of Slidell, I'm reminded of a chef who cooks a meal. And we know that if you want a great meal, you have to start off with great ingredients. Great ingredients are the foundation for a good meal. And what are the great ingredients we'll have here? Well, the great ingredients we have are the people of St. Tammany Parish, the people of Slidell. That's the basis for the meal. You know, those people are involved in the faith community. We have a great faith community, a beautiful faith community. We have a good school system. We have good businesses. We have all these other volunteer organizations. All of these things spring out from the people. And another consequence of that is hopefully people make wise choices and they can put people in office who are there to serve the people, who have the knowledge and the experience and the wisdom to serve people and to lead the community in the right direction. And I'm blessed, to tell you the truth, I'm so blessed to have the group of people who work with me, to have a law enforcement community that is so responsible, that to have a judicial system, judges and the support staff for the judges, parish government. We're all blessed. And we have to work together and encourage one another and build each other up. And if we continue to do that, it's going to be, you know, instead of a vicious cycle, which I mean by that, I mean a cycle of vice that goes down and down and down, we have a virtuous cycle, a virtuous series of events and people and things which are building one another up to get stronger and stronger. And I look at our community and say, boy, I could have been born in so many other places or be in so many other places, and I would be caught in that virtuous cycle and not be able to do the many good things, such as the Fresh Start program that we're doing. And instead, I have an opportunity to be in this virtuous cycle. And so, boy, Warren, you better take advantage of it and do everything you can every day. You know, when you wake up today, go out and do your best because you can really make a difference because of all these other wonderful people, wonderful institutions, wonderful situations.
You know, law enforcement and the whole judicial system is a place that it's seeming like the only time you're involved with it is when you're in trouble, when you've done something along the way that's not exactly according to social norms as we've defined it by the law. But listen to you talk, I don't hear a dark place. I hear something different. And I'm kind of curious as to why am I hearing something different?
Well, I take the perspective, and I heard a philosopher say, you know, people who are optimistic are the people who are successful in life, because optimism brings out creativity. If you look at a glass that is half full or half empty, if you look at it as half empty, that's kind of a negative perception. If you look at it as half full, that's a positive perception. And if we believe that we can make a difference, if I believe that going out, getting up today and going to work and loving my family and praying, you know, doing all the, if I believe I can make a difference, I will make a difference. And if everybody believes that, we will make a difference. And so that optimism, and of course, from myself and from many others, the listeners, hey, that optimism comes because I know that God loves me. If God loves me, you know, who can stand against me?
That's it.
So that's, you know, that, you know, I, and that doesn't mean all the circumstances of our lives are going to be perfect by any means. But I think we have that kind of foundational perspective in Slide Allen and St. Tammany. If we continue that and continue being creative in solutions, you know, let's just take my office in the criminal justice system. We have people who get in trouble, do make poor choices, and instead of prosecuting them, we will put them into diversion, pretrial intervention, or pre-charge even intervention, the diversion program, so that they never get prosecuted and we're able to give them the help they need and to correct their behavior. And it's a very, very good diversion system. Not that it can't be improved, and we're constantly working to improve it. And that's kind of at one extreme. And then we have, let's assume that the diversion program doesn't work and we had to prosecute somebody. We have in our district, our 22nd Judicial District, Washington and St. Tammany Parishes, we have the largest number of what we call specialty courts. And that is courts where instead of sending someone to jail, we tell them, okay, you know, this diversion thing didn't work, and so you're going to have to plead guilty, and now we're going to hold the hammer of jail over your head. Not because we want to send you to jail, but some of us need that little extra impetus or threat. And so we have a sobriety court for those who have alcohol addictions. We have drug court for those who have addictions to different types of illegal substances. We have a family reunification court where we try to help people get back together as a family. We have a mental health court. I believe it's called a behavioral health court for those who suffer from different mental illnesses or situations. We have a veterans court for those people who are suffering from PTSD and they're veterans and et cetera, et cetera. We have more of those types of courts than any other judicial district in the state of Louisiana. Why do we have those courts? Because the judges volunteer their time and because the DA supports them and helps people get into them. You know, I couldn't do that. I couldn't have those courts without the judges, and the judges couldn't have those courts without my support. But we trust each other and work together, not to put people in jail, but to help those people.
Well, it sounds like your greatest interest in all of this is people. Well, people, I mean, you've got to enforce the law. You said you would. Took an oath that said you would do what the law says you needed to do. But you do it with people in mind. You look at the individual.
Absolutely. And look, part of my role is to protect the community at large, protect society from people robbing and stealing and, you know, breaking into their homes and committing different sex offenses and all that sort of stuff. So I am here to protect the community. But protecting the community sometimes is you can not only protect the community, but help this person. So, for instance, if someone is addicted to drugs and that's causing them to commit burglaries, et cetera, well, if we can help them overcome their addiction, well, then they're not going to go commit a burglary. They can go hand in hand. You're not only protecting your community, you're helping that particular individual. An example, of course, is this Fresh Start program where people have this minor criminal conviction, but that's impeding them from getting a job. Well, if I can help them get a job, then they can pay taxes. Then they can have a stable, positive environment, and they're less likely to commit crime. So it's kind of a preventive, even though it's coming on after someone's committed the crime, it's kind of a preventive effort. But that creativity, you have to have that creativity, and you have to believe that there are solutions, and you have to look for those solutions. If you're not looking for the solutions, if your only answer is let's lock them up and throw them away, you're not going to see alternatives. And, of course, there are instances where you do have to lock people up, not throw them away, but you do have to lock them up to protect society because some people are not interested in solutions and they are not interested in changing their life. And those people we have to take out of society for some period of time. And, frankly, and this is hard for a lot of people to believe, it's best for them. A lot of people go to jail, and they're in jail for 5 or 10 years or 15 years, and they finally realize, you know what? This isn't this isn't working.
I was cut out to be.
Yeah, you know, it's dawned on me now that this isn't the right thing. And so you're actually doing them a favor. And that also includes people who are abusing drugs. You know, I would much rather have my family member or my friend who's abusing drugs in jail where he can't abuse drugs than be on a street corner dead because he or she has overdosed on drugs. So it sounds crazy, but you're actually not only protecting society, but you're doing that person a favor. You're protecting them from themselves. So all of those kinds of things I have to balance and constantly be looking for ways to improve how we protect society and help those people move on in their lives and become productive members of society.
Well, let me ask you, how the people that work with you, I'm talking about staff people, prosecutors, how do you keep that group of people from being jaded? They keep seeing descriptively, the worst of society. They keep seeing people doing horrendous things that no one ever imagined. And how do you keep your staff, how do you keep your mind from being jaded by it all and just saying, you know, these guys, if you did it, you're in trouble. Out of here.
And look, that's a struggle. And my prosecutors know that, and the people who work for me know that. They know that there is this tendency to be jaded, to be cynical, to look on the negative side. And, of course, lawyers are notoriously negative. They've done all these studies about how lawyers are, you know, that same faculty for critical thinking, for analysis, also leads you into negativity and even depression. Lawyers have the highest rate of depression of any profession. So you have to be aware of that weakness. And there are, you know, in every profession, there are different types of weaknesses, et cetera, et cetera. If you're a pro football player, you got to be careful you don't let all that adulation and et cetera, go to your head and become conceited and lose your footing. So every profession has its different weaknesses. And first, you have to be aware of the weakness. You have to be aware of the weakness. And then myself is the leader. I need to remind them of that, and I need to be positive. And, you know, positive thinking, enthusiasm, all of that is contagious. It's hard to be negative when you're around a positive person. So that's part of my role as a leader of the district attorney's office, or even someone in law enforcement, is to be positive, to look for solutions, to say, hey, the glass is half full. Recognize that the glass is also half empty. Those are both factually true statements. They're both accurate statements, but you're more likely to fill up the glass and find solutions if you're looking on the positive side of things, if you believe that there are solutions to the problems. If you sit back and say, let me tell you something, boy, this is terrible. The world's going to hell in a handbasket. How likely are you to try to find solutions to your problems? Because you think there are none. If, on the other hand, you say, things are tough, things are bad, but you know that glass is half full, I think if we put our heads together and if we work together and we try to do all these good things, we'll find a solution. You're quite likely to find a solution. So you're right. The people who say, I'm going to fail, well, you're right. If that's how you if you think you're going to fail, you're going to fail. If you think you're going to solve that problem, you're right too. You'll probably solve the problem because you're going to be creative, and you're not under the negativity of, oh my gosh. You're saying, no, I think we can make it happen, and we can make it happen in St. Tammany. We are blessed to live here. Again, all those things I said at the beginning with the great people that we have in this parish. So many great people.
St. Tammany truly is a great place to live, and you've apparently gathered a staff. Highly qualified people who share your view and your vision of life among the pool of lawyers. How do you find people like that? It seems like a rare breed.
I don't know how I found them, to tell you the truth. I don't know how it happened. You know, when I ran for DA, of course, no one expected him to be elected. I was the last person in the race. I had the least amount of money, the least name recognition, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But as I campaigned, all these wonderful people whom I did not even know came out at different times and said, what can I do to help you? I mean, it was miraculous. And I'm telling you, I don't know, I can't tell you how I got in this fantastic staff, but there are so many people who want to live in this community who are good prosecutors, and somehow they said, you know, I want to be part of this. I want to be part of this DA's office. I think we can make a difference. And so I interviewed them, and I'm telling you, I'm surrounded by people who are far smarter than I am. People very talented and aggressive prosecutors, but also who understand that we're dealing with human beings and that we want to protect the community. But that doesn't mean being disrespectful of the individual. And you mentioned one of my prosecutors, Jay Adair, who ran for judge and now is going to come back to the DA's office.
Oh, really?
He's coming back to the DA's office, and we're so blessed to have him, and that he would get up in the morning, and when he would prosecute people, he would pray for them. You know, it's a beautiful thing. Actually, I have a staff meeting every other week, and at our staff meetings, we have, not every week, but we have prayed for the people that we prosecute, you know, because we're here to protect the public, but, you know, if I could put myself out of a job, if we could eliminate crime, wouldn't that be wonderful? I mean, I would really, so, you know, I want to put in place programs. I want to do things to eliminate crime. That's my goal. Now, the tactic is if there's someone who just wants to make a lot of life out of crime, the way I'm going to eliminate crime in that sense is he's going to be in jail where he's not going to be able to commit crimes. He's only going to be able to commit crimes against himself in the jail. And hopefully he'll make some changes to his life. But I would love to put myself out of a job. And that's what I'm working to do every day, to eliminate crime. But there's a lot of ways, again, from putting someone in jail for 20 or 30 years or 40 years, if that's what has to happen, to putting in someone in jail for a lesser amount of time with treatment. We have a reentry program that's one of the specialty courts where someone is sentenced to jail as many as 10 years, and they go to Angola. They go to Angola, and there are other mentors at Angola, many of whom are there for life, and they mentor these younger people who have been repeat offenders, and they mentor them psychologically to try to get them to think in the right way. They teach them trade skills, et cetera, et cetera. They teach them how to deal with drug abuse. And when they get out of that reentry program, I'm not making any of this up, when they get out of this reentry program, which lasts anywhere from 18 months to 3 years, they have a job when they come out. And we have wonderful businessmen in this community who hire them and put them to work for them.
Wow.
And you know
That's
what the
amazing.
You know
That's
what the recidivism rate average in Louisiana, recidivism, by that I mean people who come back and reoffend, is almost 50%. You know what the recidivism rate is for people who go through this reentry program? Again, these are people who have committed multiple felonies.
Okay.
Multiple felonies.
Okay.
The recidivism rate is 5%.
From 50% to 5%.
Is that unbelievable? Is that fantastic? Is that wonderful? And look, this program didn't exist 10 years ago. This
wow.
program exists because a judge, Judge Rusty Knight, saw, hey, this is a concept that I would like to establish. And so we have it right here in St. Tammany Parish, and it's the, and now I'm going to brag a little bit on Rusty, I think it's the leading reentry program in the state. But whether it's the leading reentry program in the state, I think it's the leading reentry program in the nation. That's my perspective. But whether it's number one or whether it's number five, it's a great program, and it took creativity, it took dedication, it took confidence, it took work together between the judges in the DA's office, and it's working. It's working.
You know, you make your job a lot harder than it needs to be. Police department shows up, said they did it, you got the evidence, tell them, put these guys away. That would be easy. But to be able to look beyond the charges, to be able to look beyond the paperwork and beyond that to the human being, and I'm not talking about being soft on crime, and I'm sure you're not either, but I am talking about looking to the person to make a permanent change that will bring a goodness to society that we've not seen before. Somewhere between prosecuting to the fullest extent of the law and prosecuting with mercy, and justice together.
Well, you know, someone once said, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And the truth is, sometimes we need to go to jail. And sometimes we need to go to jail for a long time because of the nature of the offense that we committed and the fact that we are not admitting and acknowledging that we've committed that offense. And so I have to make that tough decision. That's not everyone, thank goodness. That's not everyone. And so why would I treat somebody else in a different way than I would want to be treated? You know, I think at the end of our days, we're going to have to answer that question. Did you treat others as you would want to be treated? And hopefully I'll have a positive answer. I'm certainly going to be creative about trying to help other people because I would want people to help me.
I tell you what, and again, in this Thanksgiving season, when we have so much to be thankful for, it's really encouraging and enlightening to kind of look inside your heart and look inside the heart of your department, the things that you're trying to do. And I think we can be thankful for a district attorney's office that enforces a law, puts the bad people where they need to be, but also sees enough to change it from a 50% recidivism rate to 5%. That's amazing because that's 45% differential, and it's people in the mix. It's not just a number. It's kids that get their daddies back. It's mamas that get the husband back with a good job supporting the family. It's mothers that get their sons and daughters back from what they thought was what they weren't able to do through the blend of justice and mercy. They got their kids home again. And I'm thankful for that. I am really thankful that God placed you in that office and the people around you that make this happen. Thank you, sir.
Well, I want to emphasize the people around me, all those great people, good judges, good law enforcement, so many silent heroes. I happen to be, you know, as I mentioned before, you know, Jesus came in. When he came into Jerusalem, he was riding on the back of the jackass, so to speak, you know, and they were clapping for Jesus. I just happened to be the leader of a large group of very fine people, and I have an opportunity to interact with a lot of great judges and a lot of great people in law enforcement and other community leaders, and it's a privilege and an honor. But I tell you, I do think we should be thankful that we live in this great community and we have a great faith community. And if we have that attitude, an attitude of gratitude, I know you guys talk about that all the time, we're going to find solutions to our problems, and we're going to overcome those problems. Not that we won't have any, but we're going to overcome them, and I think we're getting there.
Well, I think we would strive to be people of hope and encouragement. This is one more department of hope and encouragement. So thank you, sir. We appreciate you being with us today. Any last words for our community?
Well, I'm talking about all these positive things, and I just want to acknowledge I know there are people who are listening to this as we speak right now who are going through financial difficulties and maybe bankruptcy, or you have a sickness in your life, or some close family member, or somebody's passed away, or you know, or maybe you have some problem with the criminal justice system. You know, all sorts of issues. And so I'm not trying to deny the reality of all those things, but I truly believe that if we persevere and we have faith in God and continue to work, you know, tomorrow will be a better day, and we will work through these things. And don't lose hope. Don't become despondent. Be thankful. And just the attitude of thankfulness will help change your life.
Amen. Amen. What a great word to close with. Thank you, District Attorney Warren Montgomery and friend.
Thank you, Bob.
We love you and appreciate you, sir.
Thank you very much.
And thank you, Slidell, for tuning in to Voices here on Grace Radio. We want to hear from you. You can give us a call now at 985-250-1037. You can leave a comment, send us a text, and if we heard anything today that piqued your interest, be in touch. We want to hear from you. We'd encourage you to like us on Facebook, Grace Radio of Slidell. Also, check out on our website, www.graceradioofslidell.net. There you can make a tax-deductible donation to support the station. We need the help from folks just like you. Again, that number to call if you want to be in touch is 985-250-1037. Well, that's it for now. Join us again for Voice of Slidell Daily at 10 a.m. and 3 p.m. and get in the flow of God's grace here in Slidell.